Happy 2020! You're listening to Foolish. I'm Lynn.
And I'm Robin.
So we took a break for January because we were both home for the holidays, but now we're back.
And ready to party.
Party hard. Okay. Let's just get right into it because our episodes tend to go on longer than we plan.
Yeah. We're still new little podcasters. And I think that we are understanding that we make it kind of hard for ourselves on the editing days by doing this, doing what I'm doing
yeah,
right now.
Going. So, Robin, what have you been up to? Or should I say what we've been up to? Because a lot of these catch-up segments are events that we've done together.
This is true. So, beginning of December, that's when our last one was recorded. So, we have a couple months to catch up on. Of course, we tend to go to some shows, so we went to Sur that night, but
yeah, right, but
yeah,
that's interesting.
You want me to, take this on?
Yeah,
so I had planned to go to Sur, meet a couple co-workers at, where was it, Phoenix Concert Theater Hall?
We never get that venue straight.
I know, it's true. Because there's like Danforth Music Hall.
I know, and then Steve Lacy, I could never remember that it was at Phoenix. Anyway.
Either way, at the Phoenix. But then, right before that, you found
this. A creator class talk.
Yeah, Free Space. We've been to a few different photography talks there. Are they sponsored by Canon or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this one had a pretty exciting guest, Theo Scudre. I think we might have talked about this on our third episode because we were going that night.
Mm-hmm.
But an unexpected guest arrived shortly after we left because we planned it, so we waited in line.
And the talk went on later than planned, so ideally we would have been able to see the talk for a good like 45 minutes, an hour. But since it started late, we only caught the first 20 minutes.
Because literally any little boy who owns a camera, I swear to God, was lined up.
Yeah.
And it was so cold that night, and we were just, like, waiting. We didn't realize there was going to be a line.
For an hour.
Yeah. And I feel like I've probably been to three events there.
Yeah,
two or three events, and there's never a wait. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, this guy, was getting quite a bit of attention from...
Fair enough, because, like...
Yeah.
So, basically, he is the director and photographer of Drake. I don't know if official, but he's just, like, done a lot of Drake's music videos, like, nonstop or fave.
Yeah.
And he did Marvin's Room, which I didn't know until the talk. And
yeah, he did, like, the album art for that.
Yeah.
So guess who showed up?
Yeah, after we leave.
Fucking Drizzy Drake himself. Champagne Poppy. So that was kind of a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, because I would have actually preferred that than going to the Sur show, because even though it was good, he played a lot of my favorite songs from the Chasing Summer album, like, very early on, and then after that, it was kind of like, okay, like, I don't know, maybe it was just, like, low energy, and I couldn't get fully into it.
I think he's talented, but I don't really think that he's a very seasoned performer or something, like, it didn't feel, like, seamless or something.
Oh yeah, he's commenting about his voice, you're like, he wasn't hitting the notes.
It wasn't album quality.
I wanted to play, he did a color show, which is a YouTube channel that records artists in like a colored room and they're just singing. And so Sir did one of John Redcorn and that was the track that he opened up with at the concert. Alone, every night alone, you want my alone, but I know that you want me to. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I deserve all the pain that you pulled me through. Oh. I really hate that I give a fuck. Pressing my line, I don't wanna pick up. We know enough will never be enough. I play hard to get, she keep calling my. Tell her that I need her. Guess I should have stayed where I belong. Cause once you make it back to your happy home.
I'm alone. Every night alone. What am I alone? Know that you want me. Tell me wrong. Tell me that I'm wrong.
So that was that concert. I think the next night, my friend Ellie and I bought tickets to Berhana. I really don't have much to say about that show. I wasn't a really big fan, even heading into it. It was kind of like a cheap show. And to be honest, I thought he was cute, and it was at Velvet Underground, which is right by our house. So it just really didn't take a lot of effort to go. But it was kind of, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really listen to him much before, not really listening to him much after. You know, but good for him. He's doing his thing.
No, and remember the crowd was just crowd different was, than you expected.
Yeah, crowd was weird. It was, like, really young.
Like, and jumping up and down to his music.
Yeah, but he's pretty chill. So I was just a little confused. I was more so just taking it all in and being like, who actually is this guy? Because I wasn't really with the majority of, I don't know, just what the general vibe was about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Wasn't too much lost. I think it was like a $20 show or something.
Yeah, for sure. And I forgot to mention also one major event that we went to before the holidays was a Spur of the Moment Raptors game.
Mm.
So my manager at work was like, oh, Kawhi gets his ring today because the Clippers were in town for a Raptors game. And I was like, holy shit. I texted Robin right away. I was like, should we try to go? Because we've been wanting to go to the game.
I was also working that day.
Yeah. We wanted to go to the game. And I'm like, what a perfect opportunity.
Because we were both, like, so obsessed with Kawhi last season. I mean, as was the whole city, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So it was crazy. You're just, like, trying to look for tickets on, like, sites that resell them. They're kind of pricey. Like, Robin was trying to get a hookup through a coworker's cousin. they wouldn't budge their price.
Yeah. Oh, that was so special. The game was, what, at 6, and it was, like, 5:30, rushed home to eat, and we were on the phone trying to, like, get some type of deal. And I was like, if we're going to go, we need to just go get scalper seats.
So you go first. I'm hopping an Uber with the phone on, like, 5%.
Yeah.
I had to, like, charge. Luckily, I could charge my phone in the Uber, because then obviously needed to call Robin when I got to the arena, and she's, like, hitting up or, like, chatting up some scalpers. Schmoozes a guy to sell it for, what, $100 each?
Yeah, he started at $300 for two, and I was thinking, I was like, I know we're not going to get good seats, and we don't really want to pay the money for good seats, so I was like, $100 will be my max per ticket. So when he said $300, I was like, no, like, that's just too much. So then he's like, okay, I think he went down to $250 or something, and I was like, I don't know, I'm still waiting for my friend, and then my phone dies.
Oh,
like, you were trying to link up with me, and you didn't know, like, what side of the arena I was on, because the Uber driver just dropped you off wherever. And, yeah, of course, it's just so cold. My phone's at, like, 35%, but it just dies. And so I'm like, oh, my God, then Lynn just appears out of, like, nowhere. And then the scalper guy comes back up to me, like, once Lynn got there, because she, yeah, and then you remember you almost forgot cash? So you had to, like, run back in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then he's like, okay, $200, and we're like, done. So by this point, I thought we had already missed the ring ceremony.
Yeah, the game started.
Yeah, it was past 6 by this point, and you could, I think we heard, it's the national anthem, yeah, that was already done. But it worked out kind of perfectly, because we got in just in time to see the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Some other stupid drama ensued by some dumb super fans, but...
Yeah, which involved, like, a guy getting kicked out literally a row in front of us and, like turning purple in the face from yelling.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that was a little too much. But yeah, now the Raptors are on, like, a 15-game winning streak, so we'll see.
Oh, and this is just, like, a little bonus, I guess, thing we'll link, but you have to watch the Met class Serge Ibaka.
Oh, my God, Serge Ibaka.
OG. And, how do you say
OG Ananobi.
Yeah. Robin showed me it today, but
it's so funny. Like, Serge has just the best personality. I think we'll end up together. Anyway. What else? Okay, so we're back in the new year. It's 2020. What are we thinking about? Career, sure. So over the break I was kind of just, like, thinking about what is the next step to take in terms of career, and I've always been so fearful of it because it just feels like whatever next step I'm going to take feels like it should really be leading me somewhere. And that just the way that I always phrase it in my head, I just put a lot of pressure on myself. And then it kind of scares me out of taking any type of action. But I've always kind of considered being an RMT, registered massage therapist. So I reached out to our RMT that we had in Vancouver. Shout out Carrie Brower, if you're listening. We love you.
I love you. Her hands
and her heart, her hands and her heart. Yeah, she has this really great studio in Vancouver now. She's been an RMT for 10 years, but she opened the studio a while back, and it's called Therapy Health Studio. And I probably only had maybe 5 appointments with her or something just when I had benefits, but it was just like, it was so nice, and I really like her practice she has. And just following her on Instagram like the past few years just seems to have like a really nice balanced life. And so that's kind of something that I've been considering. And so I reached out to her and she sent me like such a nice email back with helpful tips and kind of her own journey.
So some movies that we've seen recently, Uncut Gems, Parasite, and Just Mercy. Uncut Gems, I saw at a new theater called Paradise. It's like a renovated theater on Bloor. And I like Good Time better, their previous film, which actually just got released on Netflix.
Wait, who are the directors again?
The Safdie brothers.
Nice.
Yeah. And Good Time is on Netflix now. It just got put on there, so go watch it. Yeah, Uncut Gems is good. It was, like...
stressful.
Like, yeah. Like, everyone has been said, it's very stressful, intense, fast-paced. And, like, yeah, I thought Adam did a really good job and just, like, so much... chaos and yelling, though, like his character.
Yeah.
So funny.
I just kept wanting to be like, just make a better decision. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But obviously, that was kind of the point of the film. It was very, I don't know, just like took you on a wild ride.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, like, where I saw it, because we didn't see it together.
Mm-hmm.
So shocking. I think by the time I got there with some friends from work, there was only like the first 2 rows available. So just seeing it like that close was also just like, whoa, it's pretty aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Parasite, like what more can we say? It won a world record for the Oscars, being the first foreign film to win
Best Picture.
It won Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and
Best Foreign Film.
Ah, okay, yeah. So I don't have much to say because it's like, either
it's all out there already.
Yeah. And like, if you haven't seen it, then get on that.
You're a dummy.
Yeah, you're a dummy. Get on it. And then, yeah, Just Mercy was recent with Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx. And it's about death row inmates, and Michael B. Jordan's character is a lawyer who like opens up his own practice.
Like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
Yeah. And he's trying to help. Like Jamie Foxx's character. Sorry, I can't remember their actual movie names right now.
Johnny Dean.
Yeah, and it's just about like him trying to reopen like Jamie Foxx's character's trial because he was convicted wrongly, like he was innocent. And yeah, like it was a good drama, and like it just made me feel. Just feel for all like the inmates and like the prison system that's going on in the world and specifically the States.
Yeah. And it's crazy how we were alive when like all this was happening in the early 90s, and how, I mean, I haven't done a recent search of this, but a couple of years ago, I got on a weird rabbit hole Google search of the death penalty, and I was looking up all the states that still do it, and then you can, like, it's all public records, like, you can find the names of people, their execution date, and their method of execution. Like, it's really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that one scene where his inmate his trial didn't get reopened, or I forget, I don't know.
Yeah, didn't get approved to be, like, reevaluated. So he finally got an execution date.
And just that whole scene was probably the most troubling of, like, the whole film for me, even though he wasn't the main character at all. Just because you really get into his psyche of, like, what if you knew that this day was your last day on Earth? Because he even says, he's like, most people, he had, like, you know, good attitude considering, but he was like, most people don't get the opportunity to know that this is going to be your last day. And he's like, everyone's been, what did he say? Everyone's been so much nicer to me today than they have in my entire life. And he's like, it's really weird, like, knowing,
Yeah, so I recommend all three films, actually.
So, boys, I guess I'll quickly just update on my situation. Not a whole lot. What's going on? I actually just, before we started recording, tried to finalize my profile photos because I've taken a hiatus from the apps, which is always needed every once in a while.
It's always nice cleanse. to cleanse and, like,
start fresh
pics. Fresh vibes.
Yeah. I think all of mine also just felt they were all, like, stuck in the summer. And on Hinge, how you have those question prompts. One of mine was, like,
fall concert.
Yeah. Like, no, it was like, can't. How was it? Oh, like, won't shut up about my fall concert lineup. And, like, people were still responding in January being like, what is it? I'm like, ugh, enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my last date was, I guess you could say it wasn't, I was going to say it was a fail. The date wasn't a fail, but the human was a fail. So yeah, we had like a morning date. It's not really that big of a deal. We just like walked by the water, got a coffee. Anyway, it was fine. Basically, like, my consensus was not like excited about you, but I was down to see him again.
Yeah.
And that's being generous, but I also think sometimes, you know, if you're not, like, if you get a decent enough vibe, you sometimes have to. Bless you.
Excuse me.
But then, yeah, some text message that followed this date were just, like, so alarming to me. And because I asked him if he had Instagram because I kind of wanted to get more of a sense of who this person was because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about the value of Instagram for that.
Yeah, just like kind of a vibe. And then, and he had also mentioned Instagram earlier in our conversation before we met. So I knew he had it. And then he told me, he's like, oh, I don't have it. I'm more of a Snapchat person. Basically goes on to tell me that he had been making money off Instagram and kind of was bragging about it. So I was like, how? Like, you know, I'm not really that impressed by that. Just like, tell me how, like, what do you mean? And then he just sends me, like, three long-ass text messages being, like...
Are they going to read it?
What? Nah.
Oh, okay.
But it's just, like, my... I can probably remember it verbatim. Yeah, so I was one of those people that made money off Instagram. You'd be surprised... Or, no, my Instagram account had pictures and videos of twerking. And you'd be surprised how many people will follow your account to see sexually explicit content.
So disgusting.
And then, but he kept going on and on about it and just being like, I kept pushing the nudity policy.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I had a feeling it was going to get deleted, so I made a backup account. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm saying nothing to this. He's like sending all these messages. I'm reading them. I was a little high before I was going to bed. And I was actually like, what the fuck? Like, I was actually contemplating seeing you again. Now I'm not even going to reply to, like, your text message. I just was, like, really, really repulsed by it.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, though, because when I told the story to a few people, their first comment was, like, was it videos of him twerking? And I was like, that's interesting, because, you know, like...
I didn't think that, but, like, what if the whole time?
That'd be really funny. I mean, I don't think it would change.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so much more attracted to you now. You got that booty. So that was weird. It just kind of reminded me that you really never know who you're meeting on these apps. And I mean, well, just in general too, just meeting somebody for the first time, it's kind of like, it's just so blind, right? So.
And it's like obviously good that you found out before a second date
happened.
Yeah.
It was more so just like what? Like, that was not what I was expecting you to say. Like, I literally thought I was just going to see, like, a random dude's Instagram account and be like, okay, this is his style. Like, no. He's actually, like, putting out, he's, like, exploiting shit from
my followers.
Yeah,
it just feels like exploiting. That's the thing. Like, remember, you're like, it's different if it was, like, he, like, built a community of twerkers and, like, got consent for posting these things.
And maybe,
like,
if it was a,
like,
woman, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little bit...
different.
Just, like, a safer community.
Yeah, for him to be like, I knew it was, I was pushing limits, I was gonna get shut down. Like,
and also, who does he think he's talking to?
Or he's
like,
he's already, I think he did say, he's making money off of it.
Yeah, he's like, I was one of those people
that
made money. I just think it's funny. I'm like, okay, you just met me. Like, we had a date, obviously, where, but, like, who do you think I am? I'm not, like, your best bro who you can just, like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna be impressed by that.
Yeah.
So that was my last situation.
So some fun, like, random January things that I've done, which it's just nice to switch up the type of activity you do, because especially if it's something you haven't done in a while. Like, for example, my friend Miss Lee, like, I'm not going to tell the story, but she had a night at the Hyatt Hotel, and she's like, oh, why don't you come and stay with me for the night? And I was like, okay, like, fine. I love hotels. It's just, like, nostalgic. And it's just, like, the feeling of them, like, being away, traveling. So, yeah, we, like, Uber Eats Thai food. And, like, I, like, brought all my stuff to get ready there, because that night I went to a Design Teo launch party. Design Teo is, like, a festival in the city. Not much to say about that night. The launch party wasn't that good.
But who'd you go with?
Oh, yeah, so I went with my boyfriend, Andres.
There it is.
But yeah, other things that we went to that were new experiences that I haven't been to before was, like, a jazz show, which the artist's name is Theo Croker. He's from the States, and he's, like, a young trumpeter.
That's what they call?
Trumpeter.
I like trumpeter better.
Yeah, trumpeter. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, I was so tired that night from the launch party, but it was just so good. Like, just hearing... seeing, like, pure talent, like, right in front. Well, I guess concerts are also pure talent, but it's just, like, different when it's just instrumental.
Yeah, and we're not really used to going to too many things like that, so I feel like just because it's something different.
Yeah.
It's, like,
and, like,
refreshing.
Yeah. And I was in jazz band, so it's a little, I connected with the...
Wait, what instrument did you play?
Alto sax.
Oh, I was a clarinet!
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll link to his music, because it's nice to listen to jazz every once in a while. Like, sometimes I'll play at work, especially in the morning, and I don't know what it is. It's very, like, soothing and, like, sophisticated. I hate that, like, I don't want it to be an elite thing, but it just sometimes feels like it's just sophisticated.
That's true.
And then another thing I went to was Blue Mountain Ski Resort, which is a 2-hour drive from the city. And it's funny, because, like, there's so many activities to do there, but I did none except for this thing called the Ridge Runner, which is it's like a solo mini roller coaster, basically. You're just sitting in this, like, pod thing, and the whole ride lasts about 3 minutes. And I got a headache from it, though. But cause I think I was hungover, because the night before, the first night we drove in, I don't know, I was, like, the most drunk and the weirdest type of drunk I've ever been. I definitely blacked out, and I haven't blacked out in forever, and it's just the worst feeling, like, vomited twice.
You're so, sly about it.
Yeah, like,
nobody
no one
knew.
And, like, because luckily no one had to use the washroom when I was in there, and, like, there was loud music, so they couldn't hear my, like,
ew.
I just remember, oh my god, it's so brutal. Like, I just remember, like, wiping my eyes and, like, swishing my mouth in water and being like, kick, I just gotta leave, like,
ew,
chill.
So fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, not fun, but, oh yeah, so then we tried to, there's this, like, outdoor spa there, we couldn't even get in because there was a 5-hour wait, and then I didn't even go skiing because I had to leave.
It actually sounds like, I know you still had fun.
I know.
But it sounds like such a bummer trip.
No, that's why it's, like, funny, because it's, like, yeah, this whole thing planned, but, like, nothing fun for me. No, but I still had fun, Andres. And then this past weekend, Robin and I went to a house party. It was for one of her old coworkers, and also Andres' friend. And yeah, that was fun. We got really drunk. Actually, you got more drunk than me, but...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun party. Like,
yeah, because you came to meet me at work, and there was some, like, soca DJ skate night happening down at Harborfront where I work. And it was really, really busy. We usually close at 11, but we stayed open an extra hour. And sometimes we'll have, like, a staff meeting, in quotations, at work, where we all take a tequila shot. Mm-hmm. And so we had multiple staff meetings that night. Mm-hmm. And then... I was just thinking about how I broke that glass.
Oh,
do you remember?
God,
I know.
I forgot about
because
that.
I was like,
I
was
so worried. It was so cute.
Like, I wasn't drunk at work, never. But I also was a little, like, kind of a little flighty, and I had a couple shots. And so, but I was still trying to close up, and I totally forgot to do my cash out and, like, all that. And then I was sweeping in the back, and then I don't know what happened, but a glass, like, candle jar broke, and I was like, so I was trying, like, clumsily trying to clean it up and then put it in the glass bin. And then when I went to go open the glass bin, I put my hand inside the bin, and then I got, like, this big shard of glass in my thumb. And then everyone, like, brought out the first aid kit, and I was like, I'm bleeding.
Yeah, everyone was like, five hands came in to help. One pulled out the shard, one got the supplies.
Oh, yeah.
I put on her bandage.
Yeah, that was dramatic. And then we all took, because of the connection with this person, a bunch of people at work were also going to this party. So, it was fun. I mean, I was not having a good time the next day, but that's just what I get for getting, like, 4 hours of sleep when I work in the morning. We both had just, like, the worst sleep.
But yeah, so then we come home around, like, 4 a.m. and there's a whole bunch of young boys and policemen, like, right in our alley entranceway.
And all we wanted to do was just get a burger.
Yeah, so we were like, okay. Well, obviously we noticed them right away. We're like, interesting. Maybe it's just, like, a fight being broken up. But then we, like, go on to King Street and, like, trying to get Burger Priest. And then the whole, like, couple of storefronts are blocked off with, like, police tape. And Robin goes up and is like, what did you mean? Like,
I was like, can we still go inside? Yeah. It's like caution tape. Yeah. There's, like, many police officers, a bunch of cars with their lights on.
Yeah.
And I was like, but, like, can we still get a burger, though?
Yeah. And, like, luckily no one was super. He's just like, no.
Yeah, he was just like, no. And then he's like, someone was injured here. Like, that's all he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, oh, I guess we can't get food.
Mm-hmm. And then as we were walking back, Robin overheard a policeman on his, like, walkie-talking being, like, she heard the word, like, stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, as we were entering our alley, Robin said to another policeman, like,
I was, like, talking,
like,
to them all.
Yeah, I know. I was actually, the whole time, every time you talk to them, I was like, what is she going to say? She goes, like,
I always had something valuable.
She was like, hey, we live here. Like, is it okay if we go? And he's like,
no, I was like, is there, like, do we have any reason to be worried or something?
Oh,
like, I was
okay.
Trying to make it sound like, you know, we're concerned citizens. Just another day on King Street, I suppose. Yeah, I guess lastly, just to kind of finish up, catch up, just in regards to health and fitness, I've been using the Zero Fasting app that Lynn recommended to me in December. I think right before the holidays, I was just curious about it because just trying to target bad habits and improve a little bit. So Uber Eatsing late night meals has become just like a very big comfort of mine, and it's probably my worst, like, health habit. So I'm doing this, like, 16-8 fasting thing. I really don't like saying fasting because it just feels like such a health, like, buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it's a 16-hour fast, 8-hour feeding window. So essentially, usually I'll choose between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. to have meals. And then, yeah, it's been pretty good, actually. I haven't been craving food or sweets, like, late like I used to. And yeah, I was able to kind of get that habit going over the break because my parents eat pretty early, so that was easy there. And then coming back here at work, I just have to make sure to, like, get my dinner in there, and that's it. Been noticing a little bit of progress, which has been nice, and just trying to keep up with classes at the Y. Like, I went to a bar class that they offered, which is kind of funny because it's not really, like, a super nice studio or anything, but still good workouts, and then my classic, like, muscle fit and the weightlifting ones, which I prefer over the cardio.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll be activating my, like, pole dancing studio pass soon, so I'll update you guys in the next pod. But so now it's time for our Wonder Woman, and this week it was my turn to choose, so I chose an article I found on Essence, the astrologer Shani Nicholas, and I think we've mentioned her before, again, either in our newsletter or on a previous episode, but I chose her because this article came out in December, but also recently in January we went to a TIFF talk that she did because her book just launched recently. So this talk at TIFF was with Catherine Hernandez, who's a local Torontonian, or like, I guess, Ontarionian. she's an author of, I think, more than one book, but most recently Scarborough, that is getting adapted into a film that Robin's friend Ellie is starring in.
Yeah, Ellie's going to be like the main girl in it, which is cool. She's in the process of filming it right now.
So I just wanted to read a few things that stood out to me in this interview. So the interviewer asked her, how did astrology become the end result of doing a million different things to survive? And Shani says, I have an interest in humans, the systems we live in, why and how, and I need to talk about injustice, justice, and what it might look like, and healing. She says that astrology helped her contextualize her own depression and helped her see why she suffered so much. She found it interesting for her to know because she wondered, why do I feel like this and other people don't? Why do they appear so strong? How do people live life? Astrology helped her to see how. And so for me, she's a Wonder Woman because, like, I've been following her for a while, and for a hot minute I did get into astrology, and like I found that it did kind of like help me explain maybe my behaviors, or just like with horoscopes, like you take them for what they are. And, like, you grab bits and bites of, like, what applies to you. And they're just kind of, like, mantras or inspiration. And astrology as therapy is kind of, like, a big concept, and maybe not a lot of people agree. So that's why the interviewer was like, you sort of did become a therapist in a way. And she says, I'm not a therapist, but we do therapeutic work together. It's an honor to see somebody's chart. I'm always so moved when people sit and share their charts with me. So, yeah, I just like the idea of using astrology as, like, I feel like a lot of people are into it now and get, like, the gist of it. And it's kind of just, like, a fun thing to, like, talk to other people about. And, like, that's why I like the whole idea of her book, is because it's about reading your own chart so you can understand your life's purpose. And then it basically walks you through how she would look at your chart from a very basic level, and it helps you know where to put your focus. And even during the talk, it wasn't even really a talk. Like, it was kind of cool in a sense that, like, she just did a whole reading on Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a real-life reading.
Yeah. And, like, her chart, Catherine's chart to somebody else really wouldn't mean anything. But I feel like for Chani, it was, like, she sees her being so vulnerable by just sharing that information, because it gives her so many answers to kind of Catherine's journey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what the book title?
I know. I didn't write it down. I was going to say, like, we'll link it, but.
Well, we definitely will. I think it's on both of our, like, book lists.
No, I'll pull it up because I know. I was like, what is it called?
It's like.
Becoming. No.
It's like your life now or something. Like, it's live your life.
Okay, I have it. So it's called You Were Born for This. Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance.
Yeah. And I kind of love that, because I feel like how she describes and how she uses astrology and horoscopes, I feel like is what a lot of people can relate to. Like, you're not kind of taking everything to mean, whatever, never mind. Forget I said anything.
So yeah, that's our Wonder Woman for this month.
So, winding down here, I kind of hinted, I didn't hint at it, I fully said it, but we booked a trip to Jamaica, which is really exciting.
We both never done a winter getaway.
That's
like,
true.
I'm
dying
for some.
I mean, it's definitely more spring, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dying for my tan, more specifically.
I know, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do wish there wasn't, like, a travel... It's not a travel ban. What is it? Some government...
Well, like, okay, so Robin heard it from a coworker right when she was telling people about the trip. And then, like, yeah, I got sent a link the other day where...
Just warnings, basically. Just...
States of emergency across Jamaica extended until spring due to spike in crime.
Anyway, that's that. But we're still going to go. I'm still going to have a great time. Yeah. Just be safe. Yeah, we're flying into Montego Bay, and we don't have anything else planned other than just the amount of time that we're going to be gone for.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd do a little vacay segment and just kind of talk about our favorite travel memories as we get excited to have one together.
Oh, I got our first big one.
I'm so
like
excited.
Overseas one.
Like every time, it's just so nice to have something to look forward to. We got such cheap flights out of Hamilton.
Yeah,
that's like such a good tip.
We're $400.
Yeah, like with bags and everything.
Yeah,
like, I think it was $312 or something before that, or $320. Yeah, we're taking Swoop, and it's a direct flight, like good flight times.
Yeah.
So yeah, March 25th.
I think so. To April 4th.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first with my memory?
Okay, let's take turns. So I have three trips. So my first one is I did a European cruise.
Three favorite trips. Are they
Wait, what was the segment?
I thought it was like, oh, like little like memories, because trips are so...
Oh, shit. Well, let me see where I get.
Whatever, it's fine.
So I went on a European cruise in 2014, and I'm just going to quickly like flex all the places we hit up.
Yeah.
So Barcelona, Toulon, Florence, Pisa, Rome, Naples, Pompeii, Mykonos. Mykonos, Istanbul, Kusadasi, which is in Turkey. Athens, Venice. This is in 2014, so I was 24.
You're blonde, more importantly.
I guess, okay, what's the funny story from that trip? Like, I'm not gonna, there's so many memories throughout the whole cruise, but the funny story that's associated with that cruise is that, so yeah, I was blonde, and that my aunt said I couldn't go on the cruise until I, no.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I could only go on the cruise if I dyed my hair back to, like, dark, a darker color. And, like, I legit was looking into, like, buying a wig before I
went
down. No, I actually did.
That's so
funny. Because I remember there was, like, some wig shops on, like, West Broadway in that, like, dead zone. You know, it's all, like, medically on West Broadway in Vancouver. But yeah, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, what's she gonna do? Like, send me back home?
So like, disown you or something?
I know. So I think I just arrived with blonde hair, and like, she actually didn't say shit. And it was a great cruise. So.
Actually, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I would never recommend a cruise as a way to vacay, but like, in this situation, you're with family, and it's so nice to like, leave your stuff in one place for the whole time. And like, it actually worked out better than I thought, because like, what we did was, like, we'd get off at a port, like, hire a driver for the day, and they just, like, took us to all the hot spots. But, like, although they were very touristy spots, it's like, well, if you're in Europe, you're, like, gonna go see these things and, like...
Yeah, it's not like you're not gonna go back, you know?
Yeah.
And see it in a different way, too.
And it's different because it's just, like, so historic in Europe. Like you just crazy to think these things have been around, like, forever. Like, it's just an older... continent than like the States, you know, like different type of tourist attractions in the States. It's just like, yeah, so that's super fun.
One of mine would have to be this little tiny town in Peru called Mancora. It's in like the north, like the most north point of Peru on the coast. And this was kind of in the middle, nearing the end of my big South America trip with Emma. So that obviously, hands down, just kind of wins just because it was, like, the longest travel experience I've had. And so we were in Colombia for 4 months teaching, traveling for a month. I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past. But then we went to Peru and then Ecuador. So in Peru, this little town stood out to me because we had taken a bus because our pennies were dwindling by this point of the trip. And we took a 22-hour bus. Which just sounds so fucked up now. Like, I just would never do that.
Yeah.
But I think in the moment, it was like, we have the time, but we don't necessarily have the money. So usually people are like, well, like, time is money kind of thing.
Exactly.
But I'm like, well, when we don't have it and you know, a day on a bus like seems really daunting, but we're just like, it's so much cheaper than flying. So we took a bus from Lima to Mancora. Yeah, it was 22 hours. I mean, thankfully it was a nice bus company. Like we had seats that almost reclined all the way. Mm-hmm. So we definitely slept a little bit, but still being like cooped up on a bus for that long is not that fun. But it was just such a memorable experience because of that, because we only had 2 days in this town and we took a little like rickshaw thing that they were picking us up from. It was kind of like a Fred Flintstone situation. We like, I was holding on to my suitcase on the back. It's so hot and we were like so confused, like what time of day it is, like who am I? And we finally get to our little hotel, I guess you could call it that. And it was right on the beach and our room wasn't ready. So we just like went on the beach and we're just like sitting there. I remember like not being in a good mood at all because like sleep is everything. But looking back, it was really funny. And then so we went back, had a little nap, and we ended up having like some surf lessons. Just had a really like full day and a half and like really made the most of it. Met like these two locals who, they were our surf instructors. And we took like the most hilarious photos. I just like trusted this one guy with my phone and was like, can you like take all these pictures of us? like while we were out there trying to just like stand up on the board at the same time. And then we ended up buying these, I forgot about this. We like bought these professional photos off this other guy who was like taking all these pictures of everyone who was surfing. Cause he's like, oh, these fucking, gringos or whatever, like they're gonna want to pay for these pictures. And we're like, we're not gonna do that. He took like fine ones on my phone, but really when we looked at them, they were like so clear and so funny. So I think I paid him maybe the equivalent of like $40 for like all of the photos. And then that was really fun. They took us out dancing one night, and then this one guy bailed on us and we were like, well, where'd your friend go? And then we were in town after that. We ended up running into him. I think he was with a girl or something. It was funny. I was like, how did this already feel like we live in this town and we're like kind of dating you guys?
I remember you saying like, you thought like they were yours.
Yeah, which is just funny. It just kind of goes to show like the connections you can build in such a short amount of time. And also when you're on like vacation brain, you're just like, la, la, la.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun. What's another one of yours?
Your next one is New York with Kim, Stevie, and
me.
Yeah, in New York, 2017, August.
Yeah.
And my favorite memory from that trip, well, first off, the trip was just fun because all of us in New York together, and we just did so much in like that amount of time we had. Like, I felt like we visited like all the major neighborhoods, like went to eat at like notable spots and went to the Whitney. Biked in the evening, had a slice of pizza, had pastrami.
Yeah,
it was an amazing trip. But my favorite memory is, so prior to booking the trip, we didn't know that Afropunk was going on, so we bought a day pass for the Sunday lineup, and I found out there was an after party that Nao and Sampa were DJing. So it was at Baby's All Right, and like,
wait, Nao was there?
I told you this recently. You forgot.
Oh.
Yeah, but we missed her set.
Oh, okay.
I think when we came in, it was that rapper, and then Miguel went up on stage.
Right.
So that's the thing. That's the first thing of that night, is that it wasn't even a sold-out event. Like, it wasn't that busy. And, yeah, we can't come in, and there was, like, a different DJ or some rapper on stage. I can't remember. But then she calls up Miguel, and then we were like, whoa, Miguel. And then I think he just quickly, shyly said something in the mic.
Yeah, he definitely didn't perform. I remember thinking, I was like, it looks like he's on something.
Yeah, he's a bit, like, flighty. And then, yeah, Sanford was the last DJ. So he did the last DJ set. And, like, there was barely anyone at the club at that time. Rob and I were, like, drunk, just, like, on the dance floor, having the time of our lives. Like, I, like, was... had this crush on this girl. I was just like obsessed with her.
Yeah, she was so cute.
Yeah, and then we kind of little danced, and then so we go to the washroom, and then I remember like, because we really wanted Sampa to play his own song.
True.
So we go to the washroom, we hear was it a Subtract song or his own song? I can't remember. But the track that we knew came on, and we're like, oh my god, so we like run upstairs,
like sprinted, and it was like the club was not full.
No,
like,
it was honestly not.
We had
like,
nobody to try to rush through.
No, we were just like dance so hard, and then like a couple minutes after, I hope I'm getting the story right. This guy comes out and starts talking to Robin.
It was actually like, I wasn't sure if you're gonna bring it up, but
that's my favorite.
He came up to us because he was kind of, I kind of felt him like eyeing us a little bit before.
I didn't notice him at all.
But then when we were like running up, I just remember him coming up to us. It was kind of like while Sampha was playing his song, or maybe like just after, being like, wow, you guys are like big Sampha fans, and he had a British accent. And I was like, yeah. I don't know. Did you want to tell more? Or do you want me to tell more?
Well, I'm just going to say, and this guy basically, did he tell you? Actually, you probably know the story more. Like, I don't know if he told you right then and there. Like, I'm the keyboardist.
No, well, we were just talking for a bit. And I think just because we were drunk, it was like, oh, because right before we went there, we went to, not the High Line.
Oh, yeah. I went to this, like, rooftop bar of, like, in Brooklyn, that just had a nice view of the city. Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was just, I think, like, Aziz Ansari went there in Master of None or something.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of locations that, I don't know, when we were doing our research. So it was just such a fun night. But, yeah, we started out there. And then, when he came up to me, we were just talking about, I was just saying we had drinks there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were, like, definitely tipsy. And then I think he like offered to get us some whiskey or something before he told me who he was. And at that point, like again, like vacay brain, you're just kind of like, sure, yeah, that sounds fun, like whatever. And did Kim and Stevie leave by that point?
No, because like they were just hanging out on the side because they were
right.
Kinda, like,
oh yeah, because like, we were like really into it.
Yeah, they didn't want to like make us leave.
So. Yeah. So anyway, this guy comes back and gives us like some whiskey or something in a glass.
Yeah.
And we like pretended to act grateful, but we're like, this is gross.
Yeah, I was so shocked.
And then he tells me that he is the pianist for Sampha, and I'm like, no, you're not. Like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we kind of just, like, kept dancing. Shout out to Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day I'll see him again, but we had a little night together and then spent, like, 3 months when I was in Colombia, like, kind of in some weird online relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that was like, that was definitely such a New York, like, fun, random night.
Yeah. And which I feel like could happen all the time if you live there. But just to be able, like, to vacation there and, like have a night then. Like, it was just, like, magical. It was honestly magical.
Yeah. It was so great.
Yeah.
I want to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, another one of mine, I realize it's a little similar to Mancora, but when Stevie and I were in Bali in 2014, long time ago, but we had this pact pretty much where we're like, we're not riding scooters because we just heard that people go to Southeast Asia and go, like, get on scooters and die. So we're like, let's maybe avoid that. But that all changed when Stevie got a surfboard to the face. And we had to get to a hospital ASAP. And, like, again, like, you kind of just get in this, like, I don't know if it's fight or flight, but you're just like, we have to do something. And we had met two surf boys again. And they were like, we can take you. Like, we have, you know, transport. So we hop on their scooters and they, like, fly us through town. And it really, we really felt a lot safer, I think, than we'd been building it up in our head. Also, like, we had kind of a bigger purpose. So she's getting treated. I'm going off with this other guy trying to, like, get some payphone so I can call her family and her boyfriend and tell everyone, like, what's going on. So we ended up staying in Kuta. We were for, like, an extra week. But it turned into, like, a really fun friendship with these guys because they ended up taking us on, like, a scooter tour down to the southern tip of the island. We went to Uluwatu, which is this really beautiful temple, and we didn't really, like, love the food that we were having when we were in town, but they took us to these, like, local spots where you pay a dollar and you get this plate of amazing Indonesian food.
Yeah, just neat.
And
local.
Yeah, and, like, those, the people that were running that shop, like, knew these guys by name and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they probably bring lots of girls there, but we were the chosen ones that week, so that was, yeah, that was really fun.
Then, yeah, my last trip was Vietnam with my family in June of 2018, and that was the first time my sisters and I went to Vietnam, which is where my parents were born and raised, and, yeah, it was just, like, that's the memory, like, that's it, like, just meeting my mom's side of the family for the first time, like, seeing the culture, seeing where they grew up, visiting my, like, grandparents' burial site, meeting, like, my nieces and nephews, like, my cousin's kids, but we call them nieces and nephews, and, yeah, just, like, super hot weather, up, especially in North Vietnam, like, in South it wasn't as hot, yeah, it was just, like, such a nice relaxing trip all around. But yeah, I don't really have a specific memory from that trip. It was just, that's, like, first time visiting where my parents are from. That's going to be memorable for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you wrote that one down, I was like, oh, I forgot about a very similar trip I had. A bit more brief, but as soon as I got back from South America, my sister had planned to go with my dad and some of his family, his sister and their friend, and they were going to be going to Hong Kong and Macau and linking up with one of my dad's cousins. So my dad's Chinese, but he's never met any of his relatives at all, other than his parents and his grandma. So yeah, like I didn't have any funds to do this, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna book some cheaper flight. Like I didn't fly with them because their flight I think was too expensive, but I just was like, this is a once in a lifetime thing. I want to be there for when my dad meets these people and when he's still like well enough to be able to travel and everything. So that was really exciting. Just seeing his face like light up. We had a day in Macau with, we were just supposed to meet his one cousin and then the daughter who knew a little bit of English, but they were such great hosts to us. Like they were buying us so much food and the most delicious egg tarts that I've ever had in my life. And I don't even like egg tarts. And then, probably like the highlight moment was we were all having this big, very traditional Cantonese meal at this kind of fancier restaurant. I think they're trying to like, that culture is very, they want to like show off, you know, and really treat their guests really well.
Especially with food.
With food, yeah. And I had a worm ginger quiche situation. So it was like, there wasn't a lot of sweet and sour pork going around at the table, but I was like, wow, this is crazy. I think my dad was like eating pigeon or something like that. But it was so exciting because we saw all these extra seats and we're like, oh, I think we're just at like a really big table. But then two more of his cousins just like randomly showed up. So his face just like lit up. He was so pumped to be able to just meet those people. And then we went back to their house. We like went to this casino for a minute.
Yeah.
So that was really special.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our favorite vacations. And hopefully Jamaica will be added to that list. We'll have a lot of stories for sure.
Honestly, looking back on all these, I'm just like very grateful that we've been able to have these experiences. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty incredible.
Yes.
I've always really like valued travel and everything though. So, can't wait for Jamaica.
So that's the end of episode 4 of Foolish. Thanks for listening as always.
Yes,
we appreciate you, every one of you out there in your ears. I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Kisses. Bye. See my days are cold without you.